There's going to be a person who's going to come, who's going to think that I'm pulling a fast one on God, and I got one more second, and God's going to be there tapping him on the shoulder and be like, hey, you're out of time. Whoops. End times are a serious matter. And when we think this way, or we have this idea or this philosophy about the end time, we become misguided. And we start to go into a separate way of thinking. We start to think about our actions. We start to think about our attitude. We start to think about things that we believe these are all important because, after all, I have to live a certain way according to God, right? This is what I'm required to do. This is my requirement. I hope you guys are catching this. If I tell you the kingdom is now and I tell you the end time is now, then what that means is we need to be about Father's business now. We need to stop getting caught up in these meddling distractions that basically keep you from being and doing what you were called to do. That means when you're sitting here going through trying to identify, well, what's this or what's that, or I'm trying to find out where my timing is, or what can I still get away with before it's too late, or what do I need to worm my way around in order to figure out how I can still excuse my behavior for being able to still say I can do this with just regard. When the reality is, there are people who are not going to make it into heaven because we were too busy doing other things and we weren't about Father's business. You understand? It's serious. So today, if I do my job well, we will have a better understanding of what our role is, and we will have a better understanding of what we are doing and what we need to be doing correctly. Because what I tend to find out in this particular subject matter is that we have two very vast extremes. We have the people who go around tiptoeing, going, if you don't mind, I'd really like to talk to you about this guy who died for you. I think he's really swell and you should get to know him better, right? Or, do you understand that the devil is killing you and you are going to die in the pits of hell unless you come to repent for Jesus? Like, you know, you see what I mean? Like, you know, yeah, brother. Could you imagine, like, if Macho Man or Hulk Hogan, like, were preaching the gospel at you? I'd be terrified. I wouldn't want to come to Christ. I'd be like, no, man, don't hurt me, okay? Whatever you need, just don't hurt me, okay? But we get this idea of this, we get this philosophy of how we need to be about Father's business that is so far removed and so far from the truth. And the reality of it is there's really no reason why. We just misinterpret some of the things God says. Because we believe in something that's here that we think is our God-given right. And in reality, it's not yours. You don't have it. It's never been yours. What am I talking about? Well, we're going to find that out together. So turn with me to Matthew 24th chapter. We're going to start there. We're going to bounce around a little bit. And then we're going to close out with 2 Thessalonians and Jude. So, Father, I thank you, God, and thank you for your word. I thank you for how you continue to show us, train us, Lord, teach us these things. As simple of a truth as it is knowing to when you are coming and what that means and what it means for us and how we are to be, Father. Everything has a plan. Everything has a purpose. Everything has been designed. Everything has been foretold. And God, you are in the midst of it all. And all you are looking for us to do is to obey what it is that you have set forth, God, to lay down our lives and to just live for you. So I pray, God, that your word would find fertile soil in our hearts, God. It would grow and manifest in our outward walks, in our lives, every day from this day forward, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Here we go. So Matthew 24, starting at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Sounds familiar. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. See, I love when the Bible does this. It tells you what is happening. And we read this and we go, but that just happened. And so we think that means we're here. When was this written? Yesterday? Was it written when that blue-haired chick just got out there and became super offended? And they were like, oh, let's write that one down. Because that person's really offended. That's what that meant. Or do you think that something else was going on, oh, I don't know, way back when? That there was, all this stuff was happening way back when? Because it was. It was. It was actually, these types of things were already going on, even when Jesus was around. Right? Because after all, Jesus himself was persecuted, was he not? Okay? There was all kinds of violence between nations back then. There was all kinds of things going on. So it's not new what you are hearing and getting and going through today. It's just a continual. It's a continuation. But that's not the point. If we can see these things and we can identify that back then they were going on, and by the way, they were still going on, which I'll point all those details out, what you should be more inclined to understand is that there's this little detail called a guy named Daniel, who was a prophet, who said all this was going to come before even Jesus showed up on the map. Did y'all know that? Daniel, sir. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High. Who's the saints? Hello? And shall intend to change times and law. That's pretty profound, right? This is 7, verse 25 through 26. What is it? 27? Yep. And then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half a time. I don't really know what that measurement of time means, but let's just say for years of sorts. Okay. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. See, this is really cool, because what we're being told in Daniel is not just the tribulation and the persecutions and all the stuff that's going to happen to us, right? And to God. But also, that after a while, whatever times and times and times a half of times, to times and times and times a half of times, that time frame is, that eventually, who gets the last laugh? Not by a sarcastic laugh, but I mean literally, we just get to hold the victory title belt and go, we won. Who gets that? Jesus? No, that's not what it said. We do. We do. It's given to us. We. How can I say that? Well, see, here's the thing. There is this thing about Jesus, right? What did Jesus do? Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price, right? For who? For us. So that we get to live in his victory. Right? He defeated Satan, but who gets to live in the victory? We do. That's what this is about. So, all that prophesied back in Daniel, right? Okay? But go back to Matthew, please, if you would. Matthew 24, the 4 through. Matthew, and this is from the words of Jesus, is telling us about these things that are going to come, have come, or are coming, or existing, or will exist. But one of those things I want to talk about is wars and rumors of wars. Well, we have really good evidence of that currently in Ukraine with Russia. It's not technically a war, but it is. Okay? But then there's rumors of things like with China and all this stuff. You don't even need to be in the news to know that stuff's going on, right? Okay? Oh, well, that must mean look to the sky. Jesus is coming. There's something going on. Or, well, I mean, if that's the case, don't you think maybe World War I and World War II would have had a lot of people looking up too? I mean, they were a lot more severe than this going on right now, right? Do you get what I'm saying? What happens when these things occur is our mind and our eyes start to get attracted to the event and the times, and then we go to our Bible, we go, wait, hold on, that means this is it. Gotta get my act together, gotta clean up. Put down those bad things, because Jesus is coming. Nations against nations, what does that mean? Right? That nations will attack other nations. Alright, well, that sounds a lot like wars, right? So what's the difference? Because he already said it. Is he Captain Redundancy? God's just like the King of Redundancy, likes just saying the same thing over and over again, just different words? Or does that mean something else? Mean something else. What does it mean? It actually isn't talking about war. It's not talking about violence in that sense. It's talking about persecution. It's talking about persecution. And there are two very specific nations in this entire world that embrace God wholly. Right? And because of how much they embrace God wholly, the God, right? The Judeo-Christian God, that they are ridiculed, persecuted, and attacked endlessly. Who can tell me what those two countries are? United States and Israel, right? And that's not just one nation going against a nation. That is many nations coming against nations too. Singular. That's what that's talking about. Is that going on? Yeah, it has been for a long time too, right? Since our inception, we were not very much regarded for very good things, right? We took a risk. We said, we're gonna go out here and we're gonna be independent. They laughed at us and said, you'll never make it. We're the youngest nation out of all the nations, and we are the strongest nation of all the nations. Why? Is it because we have a good military? Maybe. Or is it because God? Or you think it's because God's favor is upon this country? Still, we're not doing very good things to keep it, but hey, we can do better. Israel, right? Same deal. Just because of their love and celebration of God, they're ridiculed, attacked, missiles firing over there every single day. You want to live in Israel, having to live to missile silos every day. That's motorcycles. Yeah, it's a beautiful day, so all the motorcyclists are going to be out. I guarantee you, every single one of them is going to make a turn, and they're going to make another turn, and they're going to go right down my block. I know where they're going. Nick's cycle shop is fantastic. He's very good. All right, kingdom against kingdom, right? This sounds a lot like nation against nation, right? Except this isn't about nations, right? Kingdoms are different than nations, right? What are kingdoms? Nation's just a whole nation of people, right? Kingdom is a sovereign location, right? It's a sovereign. So that means there's obviously a God aspect to this, right? There's something regal or something more than that, right? This is spiritual kingdoms, okay? This is talking about religious persecutions. Is that going on? Not in this country. Well, I mean, like, if you really, really want to be like, oh man, they're picking on us because we're Christians. Okay, you need to go somewhere else. Like, go to China. Go be a Christian in China and then call me back, tell me, oh, yeah, no. Y'all need to stop whining and crying about your persecutions. You have no idea. Literally, churches in China, okay, are given permission to be a church in China, but you have to do it according to them and you have to use their Bible. If you are caught doing anything other than what they allow, they will burn your whole church to the ground. People inside, they don't care. That's a little persecutorial. Yes, I knew there was a word for it. I just couldn't figure it out. Okay? That's persecution. Oh, and by the way, if you manage to have survived, They like to do an insurance policy, so every single person who goes to that church, their addresses are on file. You know what they do? They go and burn your house down. And your families. That's persecution, okay? That's a bit more extreme. Is it right? No, it's not right. I'm not supporting it. But I'm just trying to tell you that if you get picked on because you're a Christian in America and they mock you because you're wearing your Jesus shirt, please stop whining about that. Okay? They're not stabbing you in the street for it. Yet. Famines, pestilence, earthquakes. Okay. That seemed very specific. But in general, we're talking about a bunch of natural occurrences, right? Because these things are not out of a personal attack or somebody personally doing something, although some things, maybe famines, could be caused because of idiots and people in power. But that being said, these are more naturally occurring things, right? Is this stuff not happening? Yeah, sure are. I mean, people tend to say, like, oh, the natural disasters are getting worse. Climate change! Or God's just letting things happen because the people of the world are not really recognizing who's in control of all of it. So he's like, all right, well, you don't want my protection. Your whole city is now underwater. Believe now? Well, how did that happen? Well, I mean, if you're New Orleans, you built your city below sea level. So that was probably not a good idea. But when your city is like 20 like elevations above sea level and you still end up underwater, I maybe start thinking God's not very happy with what you're doing. How'd that happen? I don't know. I'm not God though. So I don't need to figure those out. But these are all the beginning of sorrows, right? That's what Matthew says. Is that the end? No, it's not the end. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning, church. We're just getting started. Right? But the next part he says is that you will be killed. How many people are ready to die? Well, I didn't see many hands go up. Not ready for that one, huh? Well, guess what? Newsflash. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. And guess what? I love this one. Well, that doesn't seem like a really good way to get people to want to come and become a Christian, right? Oh, sign up today. We're going to kill you later. Then why isn't nobody signing up? Seems like a really good deal, right? I mean, like, you get saved, you become like Christ, and then somebody comes and just pokes you, and you're done. No? Nobody wants to go out? Oh, come on. But it is what it says, is it not? And you'll be hated by all nations. Now, this has started. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about just in the countries like China where it's really bad, but it's even come around here. Okay? There is a level of persecution that the church now is starting to feel where there is this life-threatening attack on those who call on the name of Jesus. Okay? It is coming. It is happening. It's been small, but it's going to grow. Okay? It is going to happen. But then you get to this other part where it says that you will be hated. For whose sake? His sake, right? I'm not hated because they don't like me as a person. They don't like Jesus in me, right? It has nothing to do with me. It's not personal. They just don't like him. Okay, so they start hating us. But we still haven't even felt this one to the magnitude that is being talked about here in the scripture. We haven't gotten there yet, church. So does that mean, well, then we're not at end times? What are you saying? Well, I'm saying what you're in is in the sorrows part, right? What we should be paying attention to is knowing that these things are going to get worse, right? What you've heard from me before. It's going to get worse before it gets better. It's not going to get better. I'll give you that one. It's just going to get worse. When's it get better, church? When we're out of here, all right? But here's the workings of this, because it is, I do want you to see where it's working out, so you can kind of be on guard, right? There's an embracing of ungodly values over godly values. That's happening. That is not just here, church. That's a worldwide. You want to talk about a real pandemic? Take a look at how much the world is starting to regard more ungodly things, more ungodly values. I'm going to go back into, you know, the good old times and, you know, in the Old Testament about this, these two towns that were really bad. Right? They were just two towns, church. That's it. What did God do? Swoosh. Done. You're done. Right? He was not happy with that. Okay, well, there's a lot more than two now. There's whole countries dedicated to going, we're just going to stand there and give God the middle finger until he smites us all. And we're going to do all the things that are not okay with him. Why? Well, because we just don't care about him. We don't like him very much. We're going to do the idol stuff. We're going to do all these demonic activities, these child sacrifices, and all these horrible things in the name of some false god. We're going to do all that. Is God not? Why has he not smited thy city as he has done in the past? Do you guys know why? There's a reason why. Mm-mm, that's not it. What else is showing? Welcoming of religions that despise Christianity. We see that in our own nation. We see that across the globe. Supporting of laws that promote violence against the church. We actually see in, not just here, because it's starting to show up here in this country, which isn't really good for us. But anyway, but in countries that are a little bit more loose with their laws, they've created more laws that are actually against Christianity and against the church than it is in helping or support of the church. You know, we still have a constitution that thankfully gives us some ground, but they're slicing and dicing that thing up to pieces. Right? What else does it say in Matthew? We have offenses, right? Betrayals. Did I get to that part yet, or did I not get to that part yet? No, all right, so bring up the other part of Matthew. That's where I'm. So we get to 15, right? Yeah, 15. So we're going to continue on from 15 on. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. We're talking about something that happened at that time. So stop waiting for something like that to happen. Already happened. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Seems pretty specific again. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. See, that's the end. And see, the issue is we have this wonderful idea in our mind that we are going to get away without having to suffer tribulation. You won't have to suffer maybe the great tribulation, but you will have tribulation. And so here's the catch, church. This is where we are getting things messed up. We are trying very hard to be on our best behavior with some slight mishaps along the way in hopes that we can time it right with the signs and then get our acts together right before tribulation comes, because we don't want to be a part of that, so that we go, all right, Jesus, I'm ready. You can take me. I'm clean. Check me out. I'm out. Bye. And that's what we want. But here's the problem. That's not why you're here. Because if Jesus died so he could just get us home, then the moment you accepted Jesus Christ, guess where you'd be? You'd be home. Wouldn't be very hard. Eventually there'd be a population shortage. People would be wondering, where are all these people just vanishing? It's like they go in that building and they never come out. Amazing. I was like, I want to try just to see what happens. Like, huh? Not happening. Something's off. Gotta figure it out. It's like a puzzle. You know? No, it's not. It's not that hard, right? We have these offenses and these betrayals that are come, but not yet. False prophets, right? Deceptions. Is that happening? Oh yeah, sure is. Got all that going in spades, right? Lots of deception. Lawlessness. Again, right? But are we at anarchy yet? No. Look, until you have a Molotov cocktail thrown through your front door, ain't anarchy yet. I've seen the movies. That's how it starts. Every anarchy movie starts with a Molotov cocktail being thrown through somebody's house. And then it's like, I can't take it anymore! And they come out with like 8,000 bazookas. Like, where did you get all that? Like, are you ex-military? Nah. I'm just an American. You can have bazookas as an American? That's what they think we can do. Little do they know that's not true. We can barely get a handgun. Alright? But, what else? If we take a look at what's coming, and we see through the Daniel prophecy, right? That we have a part to play. There's this exchange that comes. Do we know that that exchange already happened? Or do you think it hasn't? Many people will read that prophecy and they will think that the exchange hasn't happened yet. I'm going to tell you, it has. It happened on the cross. See, who's king? Christ is king, right? Okay. Where do we sit? We're sitting right next to him, right? Why? How did we get there? Is it because I was knighted? Did I get some rite of passage here or what? Or is it because of who dwells now in me has made me like him? So therefore, I am, right? The whole concept of being called a Christian is you are a little Christ, right? You are him. You are the embodiment of him. Therefore, yes, the exchange has already happened because the victory was on the cross. So you are already in that victory. And how can I say that? Well, I don't know. Is the kingdom of heaven waiting? Or is it now? It's now. So if the kingdom is now and the kingdom is also where? Up there? Here. Where am I getting all this from? Read your Bible. Okay. It's not up there. It's here. We are in that place. So that's already happened. So then what's next? According to even Daniel, what's next is where we are today and what we are currently going through. But we get this scripture and I love it. It's a great scripture. It's also in Matthew. Matthew 11 verse 12. Does anybody know what it says? Off the top of your head? The kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Man, that means, well, I'm sharpening my sword up. Come at me, bro. I'm ready to take your head, bro. I ain't going out without a fight, man. No way. Ready. I'm gonna be violent. Is that what it means? Is that actually what that scripture means? Or do we have a bad idea of what that scripture means? We do. We have a bad idea. We tend to get the scripture and we tend to get our righteous indignation up thinking, I'm ready to take some bad dudes out. Who's the bad dude? The devil? The devil! The devil's the bad dude? You gonna go cut his head off? You wanna go cut the devil's head off? Who wants to go? I'm game. Let's go. Who wants to go cut the devil's head off? Let's go. Where's he at? Where's he at? Where's he at? Okay, so I'm going to go back to the beginning where I started this whole conversation. What happened on the cross? Did he not triumphantly reign victorious over Satan on the cross? Did you not read your Bible? Does that not what it said? So hold on a second. So if the victory is already done, who are you fighting? That's like you got the title, right? And you knock the dude out and you just go over there and you just start beating him with the belt. Like, he already lost. You already got the championship belt. You walk away. You already won. Yet we get this scripture and this idea in our mind that somehow I still got something to fight. I still got to beat his brains in. I still got to, and we get mad when the devil does things like what he talked about, right? Because the devil is up to no good still, but he's a loser. He's a loser. He's a loser bully who thinks he still has a chance at stepping in the ring. But you want to know something? He can't box with us, and he can't box with him, because he already got his butt kicked. He doesn't even get a chance at the title. He's a loser. I ain't afraid of him. I'm not even gonna bat an eyelash. But that's actually not a product of the devil, that's actually a product of the world. And so we give him a lot of credit for stuff he didn't even do. And we think we gotta go fight him, and he's just sitting there going, whoa, 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 whoa. That wasn't me. I mean, kind of was me, but it wasn't really me. I didn't do it, like, I didn't personally do it. Like, chill. Put the sword down. I already lost. It's cool. I know it's already done. He knows it's written. He knows he's done. He knows he's got nothing. He knows all of that. He knows his time's up. He's just waiting for his time where he gets to have the play time for a little bit before he's all done. That's all. He's just waiting now. We have this propensity to want to pick up and fight something that we don't have to fight. We don't remember that the battle belongs to the Lord, right? We sing that song. Remember that song? This is how I fight my battles. We know we've done that one. There's another song. It's an older song. The battle belongs to the Lord, right? But when you read Matthew, when the tribulation came, what did they say you're supposed to do? Did it say stand your ground? Did it say pull out your sword and fight? No. What did it say? No. It said flee. Well, that sounds very cowardice. I ain't no coward. Mama ain't raised no coward. I ain't run away. My house. Right? That's a worldly mindset. But guess what? Jesus came and conquered the worldly mindset with a mindset that was completely counter to every single worldly concept out there at the time. That's still relevant today, right? My dude got betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and, by the way, right, was then going to be taken and beaten and all the stuff. And he knew it was all going to happen, right? And he knew he was going to be betrayed, right? And in that, one dude just goes around and goes, hey, you can't have him, and cuts off another dude's ear. And she just goes, no, stop. Put his ear back on. No, stop. We don't need to fight. It's okay. Like, seriously? That's like completely counter to every single person that would do anything similar. We'd all done that. We're like, no, you can't have him! Right? He even told him, why are you bringing swords? what are you fighting for? You don't need them. Although we think we do. Right? There's this wrong mentality about what we are supposed to fight and how we're supposed to fight and what we believe we are fighting and how we fight. And the problem comes in at this very moment. We do not like the idea of having to flee. We do not like the idea of having to stand down. We do not like the idea of letting the enemy just go ahead and feel like he's winning and gaining victory and all this stuff. He's not. It's called tribulation, and it's been promised and prophesied. That's not the devil gaining ground. It's just what's supposed to happen. to get everybody to wake up. See, we're the fortunate ones. We woke up already. We know. We have the plan. We know what's coming. So we should be doing what with that plan? Waiting. What's going on, God? I'm just waiting for you to show up. Any day now, because this place is burning and it's terrible and I just want to go home. Can you take me home? Please. Right? But you guys said it. We have things to do, but what are you doing? Because it seems like this is all we're doing. Because we're not running away. We're complaining. Oh my God, do you hear them? They're just not stopping with their blah, blah, blah gender, blah, 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 my rights, blah, 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 I'm gonna burn your house down, blah, 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 oh, they're burning my house down, blah, blah, blah. Like, we just complain. Who's that sound like? The Jews? All they did is complain every single time God brought them through something to something greater than they just complained. And complained. And we're just the same. But we're just complaining about different stuff. We have this innate thing in us to feel like we have to fight to right or wrong. Right? We have to balance out an inequality. And the fact is you can't. Because anytime you try to do it, you want to know what your first thing is going to be? I'm going to leverage it so it's now in my favor. How can I say that? Well, it's proven. It's proof. It's true. How many people were ever physically hurt? Physically hurt. I'm being very careful with my words. I'm not trying to say you were abused and I don't want anybody coming out and saying I was beaten, you know, and my parents and they, you know, no. I mean, you probably sometimes got what you deserved and you would just be failing to admit that. Okay? No, but I mean, like, you've been physically hurt. Physically hurt. Okay? If you've been physically hurt, your first thing is you are going to try to come up with a plan to make sure that that will never happen to you again. Right? Am I right? Some people get a little extreme. But still, my point remains. You didn't even seek the Lord to find out what that was about. You didn't even ask if that was supposed to happen. You don't understand what the reasoning for it was. You just immediately go, well, nope, I can't have that ever happen to me again. So you leverage it in your favor. We can't. We don't know how to be equal. There's no such thing as equality in a selfish man. Because it's always going to be leveraged onto the side of you. So you're always going to bend it just slightly for your benefit. Can I tell you then and ask you this, is that Christ-like behavior? Was what does the Bible tell you to do? What did Jesus himself say? That when somebody comes against you, what should you do? Bink! This is my good cheek. I reserve this one for them. This is the bad one. Don't mess with that one. But this is the good one. You can have this one. And you'll be like, well, I'm running out of cheeks! No, you're not. Because you got this one and this one. And if you keep going, you can find more. That's a funny one. I like that one. Thank you. But it's not. We know it's not a Christ-like mentality. We know it's not a Christ-like behavior, and it's not a Christ-like attitude. But we tend to get this righteous indignation anyway. Well, is that going against what God said? Is that then maybe being a little bit more selfish and maybe adapting maybe a sinful mindset? So then what's the answer then? All right, so then, Pastor, what you just told me then is that I just have to basically just take every shot the enemy throws at me, put a smile on my face, let them steal all my stuff, let them beat me up, let them beat my kids up, let them do whatever, and just smile and do nothing. Is that what I said? No, I didn't say that. What are we supposed to do then? Shit, flee. Seems cowardice. Not supposed to fight back, not supposed to do this. What are we supposed to do? Because it almost seems like you're running out of options, doesn't it? It almost seems like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. All right, Pastor, help me out. Fine, I'll help you out. Turn to Thessalonians 2. I will help you. Because I'm a good second. Thessalonians 2. Second Thessalonians 2. And don't have to go far. First chapter. Second Thessalonians 2, chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God, for your patience and faith. Well, we just talked about that. In all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest, evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Now, I am bringing that to you for a reason. Because what you think is cowardice is not cowardice at all. What does this say? It tells you right there, black and white, that who is going to deal with them? God is. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm good with that. Because if I try to do it, you want to know what I'm going to do? I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to be like, take your ear. Why'd you do that? Because I felt like it was wrong what they were doing, and this is going to make them think twice next time. There. Put my stamp in history. I'm the ear guy. Think about that. Do you remember Tyson for all the work he did, or do you remember him for taking the dude's ear? You're an ear guy. I'm just saying. We don't have to fight because there isn't a need to fight. Because God's already got it all laid out, figured out, planned out. That's it. It's a wrap. What then should you be doing? Ooh, good one. No. I love that one. Praying. Good one. Sometimes. Enduring. Good one. Yeah, but not really. I mean, you just are. It's like, that's like breathing. You're enduring. I mean, I am. Yes, I'm also going to continue to breathe too. That's natural. Oh, Lord, bless my brother from the other wall for saying something profound. What dost thou mean by this word, evangelize? Oh, you're going too far. They ain't worthy of discipleship yet. We have two jobs right now. Job number one is making sure that you are above reproach. What does that mean? That means that you are not doing what I said previously. Going, okay, getting kind of close to that end time thing. Now I'm going to get my nice suit out now because it's getting dangerously close. There we go. God's not going to miss me because I got this Versace suit on. Because Versace's not going to save you. Trust me, I think if anything, Versace's probably going to get you faster out, not in. Okay? All right? Just not a good choice of wardrobe. All right. But we have to maintain our relationship with him. This is why we tell you in this house, it's not a once saved, always saved message, right? Because your salvation is really going to be based more on your relationship. How can I say that? Because you're not going to know something if you're not in relationship, right? I know more about every person in this house because I'm in relationship with you. I know you're gluten-free and don't like dairy, and I like the things that you like because they're good, and you make really good chai tea. Why? Because we have a relationship. The more you spend with people, the more you know them. The more you know them, the more you know about them. The more you know about them, the more you know likes, dislikes, things of that nature. Relationship's important, right? All right, well, why can I then say that about salvation? Well, because Do you not think your relationship is important with the guy who's coming to collect you when time's up? Do you think he needs to know all there is to know about you and you need to know everything there is to know about him? Wait a minute, but he's God. He already knows everything about me. That should scare you. Am I right? This should get you a little bit worried. What do you mean? I mean, he knows everything about you, okay? Even the stuff you don't even know about yet because you haven't gotten there yet. Well, that's scarier. So then how do you maintain to make sure that you don't end up being somebody who's lost and forgotten down the road? You need to do something now to ensure that, don't you? That means you need to continue this relationship all the way up until we're done. And guess what? It doesn't matter when you're done, because then when you're done, guess what you're still doing? You're still going to have a relationship. All right. But what does this relationship come to us to benefit? Because when you have a relationship with him, guess what he will bestow upon you? This word called knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge is not bad. Too much knowledge will do what? Puff you up. Make you think you know everything. Make you like some dude drives around in a white van with a bunch of red letters on his truck that thinks he knows more about everybody than everybody else. That's too much knowledge. You can see it. If you're in Jersey, you know what I'm talking about. Okay? That's too much knowledge. But you do need the requisite amount of knowledge. But here's the problem. What are you doing to gain that knowledge? Are you just spending time reading this? How many people read their word daily? Okay, let's try to get a little bit better. How many people read their word about on a weekly average? Get about a certain amount in every week. All right, oh, that's better. Whew, we'll get you to daily soon. Oh, man, that's all right. Listening's good. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. I'm all in favor of hearing. Okay, this is not your database of knowledge. It's your textbook. But come on now, everybody who went to school knows your textbook has got good stuff in it, but what's usually in the textbook? It's just information, but you usually got to do what with that information? Got to use it. You got to apply it, or you got to ask questions. Because it's not all there, right? This is not the unofficial history book of your faith that has every single detail lied out for you. You know that? Did anybody ever have this happen? You read a passage in the Bible, and then all of a sudden, in between the one line and the other line, there's like another paragraph that you didn't see there the last time you read it? Did you ever have that happen to you? You ever have that? Okay, that's something special about this book, right? That doesn't happen in any other book, right? How did that happen? It's called revelation, right? Very good, right? But here's the thing. If you're not asking, you don't get it. God's not going to give you revelation of the things that are deeper and meaningful in his word unless you are asking. Why? Because it's dangerous. Am I right? When you know something that God reveals to you, how many people have had that dangerous message given to them through the Bible? You got that deeper revelation. You're like, oh, this is dangerous. Yeah, it's dangerous. Because you are knowing more about what his plan is. You're knowing more about what he's going to be doing. You know more about him. All right? Or do we do this? Lord, I read your word, and you really need to minister to my brother over here, because his heart attitude is just terrible right now. And all he does is just like, he just keeps saying the same word over and over again. He knows how much of grace against me. And I just tell him every time, I'm like, I really appreciate if you wouldn't say that word anymore. But every day I see him, he just continues to say the same word over and over and over again. Like, he know, like, I think he just knows it. I think he's just trying to get under my skin. He's just, could you just like do something like smack him in the head or something like that every time he says it? All right, thanks, Lord. Bye. What good did that do? And even if he did smack him in the head every time he said it, would it really improve the world? No, it only makes me feel better. I'm only looking after myself. All we do is complain. We complain about each other. We complain about other people. We complain about the things that people do that we don't like. We complain about the school. We complain about the president. We complain about this guy. We complain about that guy. We complain. We complain. We complain. We complain. God's complaint box is full, church. It's full. Stop it. He doesn't need to hear your complaints because he doesn't have to do anything about them because he already has a plan. All you're doing is you're wasting time. You're wasting time over trivial, stupid, meaningless, frivolous stuff. Well, you know, I think it's really bad that they're trying to trans the kids. Oh, I do too. I don't think it's great. I don't like it either. But complaining to God about it is not going to do anything to stop it. That's not going to change it. What would change that? Well, if we get rid of all the trans people, that'll fix it. You just don't understand what your role is. You're trying to go back, grab the sword, and go, I'm going to end this the right way, and I'm going to take a bunch of heads off, because that'll fix the problem. No, it won't. It's like, what's that mythical beast? You cut one head off, and then three more grow back, the Hydra. Yeah, you keep doing that, you're just going to make it worse. You're not making it better. What we have done and what we do is we get our hearts wrapped up into the worldliness in such a way that we view individuals based on their actions. I'm going to say this again because everybody here needs to hear this. We have our hearts wrapped up in worldliness because we view individuals based on their actions. If God judged you based on your actions, would you ever be worthy of the kingdom? Then why do you do that to them? You're a horrible representation of Jesus Christ. Am I wrong? After all, you greetingly love to have that welcoming arm, love and hair and care and kindness and compassion when you were a horrible human being and you did all the wrong things, but Jesus loved you anyway and embraced you and welcomed you in. Your actions weren't good. Heck, some of you, your actions still stink. Jesus still loves you. I'm going to point it out, but that's because my stuff stinks too. I don't like my actions either. But I understand what I'm supposed to do. I understand what you're supposed to do. And if we are basing everybody's being off of their actions, what we become is very much fixated on the individual and not the acts of the individual. Individuals, human beings, are not evil. What they do is evil. My brother in the back sends me a photo. God hates the ATF. He asked me if this is true. I said, no, God does not hate the ATF, because the ATF is a group of people. God does not hate them. He does not approve of their actions. We have to stop judging people on their actions. Because if actions disqualified humanity, nobody would be worthy of the kingdom of God. Jesus died for the actions of sin. He died so that there is no action, sin, that you can commit that would remove you from being able to come into him. Except for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but you also had to already been in order to do that. So again, you can't not get in. You can screw it up and get out, but you can't not get in. You will be in if you only understand that. So what should we be doing? Our hearts need to be like Christ, that views individuals as being corrupted by sin and in need of salvation. The actions they commit are sinful actions. The actions are bad. The actions are evil. The actions are a propagation of worldliness. They are part of the world. They are only acting as though they know to act because they have been in this field for their entire life. They don't know anything else. And the system is creating more of it. Right? Why is that happening? Because the churches stopped putting themselves in the places to affect them properly. If you want to go ahead and change something, then go into the place, because you are the light. You need to go where? Away from everything. You need to find all the other lights like you and just huddle together in the corner and do nothing anywhere over there. Or are you supposed to take that little light of yours and go let it shine into the dark places? That's what the Bible tells you, and that's what it means. See, you are the effectual change, but the change is not because I'm going to be violent and cut your head off. No, it's I'm going to come in there and I'm going to bring Jesus with me, and we are going to set this place ablaze, spiritually speaking. Don't go into a school and set it on fire and say, it's the Holy Spirit. You're like, don't do that. That's bad. Okay? Look, you can pray that way, but I'm just telling you, that is predating Christ. Christ has changed our MO. Our MO is that we should see them this way. Turn to Jude. It's not a lot to read, but this is why I'm telling you this, because this is really good. Jude 20 to 23. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's your job now. Understand that you are under mercy. You live by grace. You aren't worthy, but because of Him, you are. Right? Because of Him, I every day wake up with breath in my lungs, I thank Him for it, and I continue on my day knowing that it's because of the love of Christ that I am still here today. And that I am still counted worthy. And on some, all, some, that means, guess what? For you, my friend in the back, who says, not that one. Okay, some, not all. There are some that you do not have to have compassion on. There are some you do not. What does that mean? Some you do. So that means you can't sit here and choose. How do you know? How do you know who you should have compassion on? You need to be connected to Him who does. You need to follow His leadership and guidance on that. That's not my call. But some have compassion. Making a distinction. That means, what is the difference between this one's compassion and this one's non-compassion? Well, there's got to be a reason for that. I'm going to get to that. But others, this is the ones you do not have compassion for. Save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. I am not telling you to approve of their actions, what they've done, the horrible things they continue to do and the things that they don't like. But your thoughts towards them should be, they are going to burn in an eternity of fire, and God doesn't want that for that person. So I am yanking you out of there. I don't like you and what you've done, but you still need Jesus. I don't have to agree with them to get them to come to Jesus. But I do need to stand my ground. You're not forsaking God by doing this. You're actually doing what you were told to do. It's so hard for us to get this concept and understanding right. But when we have this right, church, let me tell you, there is something bigger on the horizon. Because what you don't understand is the reason that we're still here and we're still dealing with all this is because we aren't doing that. Because after all, we are the ones who are able to expedite His coming. Did you know that? This is how you do it. But if you're just standing around sitting on your hands all day long, guess what? It's going to take forever. It's going to take generations from now. Our desire should be to fight for their souls, to see the urgency and with great fervor to rip them from their impending doom. To not accept that that person deserves to go to hell. That is not an adequate answer for a Christian. No one deserves it. Why? Because if that was the case, then did you deserve it? See my point? Church tribulation is actually happening now. It started, it's coming in greater ways. It's going to get worse. I almost feel like Trump there. It's gonna get worse. Listen, it's gonna get worse. Okay? It's gonna be terrible. People will become more blasphemous and unruly, violent and detestable. The lawlessness will create a world of anarchy and death. And I want you to understand that your position here on this planet is not protected. You are not under any special protection. I mean, look, let's be clear. Does anybody know what a martyr is? Were they really safe and protected people? Or did they have some of the most violent deaths known to mankind? Okay. You're not protected. But because we're not protected should not make us want to create realms of protection around us. We need to stop being safe church. We need to stop being a people that are trying to find our own little shelters. Dare I even say, shelter in place. That hurts. That actually hurts. Oh, that didn't feel good. Yep. Shelter in place. Wear a mask. What you are to do in this endeavor might not seem like it's a lot to do, but it actually is because it's counter to everything you've done so far. You're not sitting around. You're not waiting. You're not just praying. No. You're actually being the effectual change in this world that you want to see by actually going and sharing the gospel message of Jesus and letting people know that they are not going to see heaven unless they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Oh wait, no. They're going to get to go up. Yeah. They're going to be there for the sorting. That's not what they want to see. They're not going to want to walk away from that on the other side. Because guess what? As much as they're going to know that that is eternity and glory over there, they're also going to see right behind them what's coming soon. They're not going to like that. And I've had this conversation with some individuals who have had this specific conversation with me, and I share this now with you. How many people in your life that you know, that you say you love, that you care about, are going to be looking at you across the way while you're on one side and they're walking away from you with tears in their eyes going, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you convince me? Why didn't you rip me out of the fire I was about to go into? Why didn't you try harder? Do you want that on you? Oh man, that's a guilt trip. I'm sorry. I don't mean to guilt you guys, but let me say it this way. Do you want that on you? Do you want that feeling knowing that that person, you had every chance, every moment, every opportunity to tell them and tell them and tell them? Not just tell them, but also live it before them. Minister to them. Be there for them. Be the light that you are to be. You have to go into the dark places. We have to stop trying to shelter ourselves and be safe. Just because this world's going to go to heck soon, and this country's going to go to heck soon, and all the nations are going to be at war, and there's going to be bombs and all kinds of chaos coming soon to a theater near you, doesn't mean you stop. Doesn't mean you quit. Doesn't mean you go and hide. No. We need to be vigilant. Because when the time comes, what happens in Matthew, that fleeing, where are they fleeing to? Did you ever wonder? Where are they going? I want everybody here who doesn't know the answer to that, either go to sit before the Lord and ask him personally, or go do some history and dig it up. Go find out. I know where. We sang the song. When the trumpets call, right? Where are you going? On your knees you fall as we all go home, right? Did you know there's a certain place you need to be in order to get taken up? You think it's just going to be like, boop, like tractor beams? No, we might need to go somewhere. Are you ready to go? Why do you think he's talking about if you're nursing a child or you're pregnant, you might be in trouble? Because you got to move. Where to? Are you going to know where? Sure, well, you're going to know where you need to go. You're going to know exactly where you, I mean, it'd be nice, but that'd be a hard swim. Right? You think you're going to be able to get a plane? You might be lucky to get a plane somewhere, but it ain't going to be where you need to be. You better bring your hiking equipment. You better be ready to walk. And I'm going to be telling you this. It's probably going to be a lot hotter where you're going to be. You might need to walk in some sand. I'm just saying. I'm not telling you where because I don't know exactly where myself. But I do know that we're going to have to move. That's when you got to go. That's when you need to get out. But that's also when their time is up. But is their time up now? No. So we got work to do. Amen? Amen. So Father, I thank you, Lord, that in this time of preparation, God, in this time of building your church up, reminding them what it means to be the light of Christ and what it means to go into those dark places, God, that we have work to do. And you don't need to know all the statutes and all the tenets of faith and all the history and all this stuff. You don't need to know all that. All you need to know is that salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And that without him, you're doomed to an eternity of separation from him. And with that, only that in us, Father, you've given us full authority, all power and all dominion to go and preach the good news. So Lord, they know it. They have your word. They know their faith. I pray, Lord, that in their thorough equipped nature, that they would go and be that light, that beacon on a hill, and that they would go into those areas, and that Father, they would effectuate that change by ripping those who are captive out of the pits and bringing them to you, Father. May we all have this earnest desire in our heart, God, to want to just bring more into your kingdom, God, but more importantly, to save them, Father, from being separated from you for all eternity, God. We thank you for the salvation on the cross through Jesus Christ, God. We thank you, Lord, for all your plan and your purpose in our lives and through us. Jesus, continue to be magnified and glorified in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.